What is the White Leaf Curse?
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, lads, what a week in football it's been.
It really has been, though, hasn't it?
It really, really has been. I know that there are a lot of football podcasts around. There are a lot.
There are.
And oftentimes, there's so much to talk about that it can go all across these podcasts. You can find something different to listen to in every one of them, can't you?
You certainly can. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why our listeners, we encourage them to listen to the podcast, don't we?
We do, yeah.
Go and seek a balanced opinion wherever you can. And it's good news this week because we found one of your favourite podcasts is coming back, isn't it, Terry?
It's already returned.
Yes,
La Liga Weekly, the Sky Sports podcast with John Driscoll and Terry Gibson is back. It's a slight play on the words of La Liga Weekly, but it's essentially the same podcast.
Yeah.
And I listened to it this morning, and it was tremendous fun.
So it's out already?
Yeah, it's already out, and I had a great time, and it was good to have them back. Of course, John Driscoll, friend of the podcast.
Yes, he was on earlier this season, wasn't he?
He was indeed,
It was great to have him, and great to have him back on a podcast.
Absolutely.
So if you've not got around to that yet, listen to that one because, well, you know, you're probably going to hear some hotter takes than you've heard on some of the more mainstream, should we call them, podcasts. Man, it seemed like if you were listening to all of those, you would have thought you were in some kind of time loop. Yeah, they were just saying the same thing, everyone you were going to last week. I don't know what happened there.
No, I've got no idea what it
was. Some kind of curse.
It must have been some kind of curse, some kind of time curse, a time loop curse, some description, where they all ended up saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to us.
Unbeknownst to us, of course.
Unbeknownst to us.
Indeed.
Palace Spurs on Sunday. Here's an email from Andy Rockall.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Andrew.
Who says Tottenham will beat Crystal Palace in the fourth round.
But we'll go out in the next one.
They'll definitely go through this time. Why?
This is because of the White Leaf Curse.
Because of the White Leaf Curse.
Because of the White Leaf Curse.
Have you heard of this?
No.
Nope.
What is the White Leaf Curse?
Would you like to know what the White Leaf Curse is?
I know what it is.
I go on then, Wilson.
White Leaf Welfare got
kicked out of this season's FA Cup after beating Corinthian Casuals in a first qualifying round replay.
Why? Because they fielded an ineligible player.
Taiwo Odutolu.
Yeah, to come on to that.
Was banned but re-registered under a false name.
Hopefully it'll be easier to read out by me. Unbeknownst to White Leaf,
who fielded him and then, you know, incurred the wrath, etc.
Corinthian Casuals were reinstated but went out to St Albans.
Who went out to Taunton.
Who went out to Billericay.
Who went out to Chesterfield.
Who went out to Grimsby.
Who went out to Crystal Palace.
Been passed on every time.
Been passed on every time. They've gone out every single time. So,
well done to Spurs for winning that game and bad luck in the fifth round.
Sorry about that, listeners. We'll move on.
Now, of course, regular listeners to this podcast will have heard us come up with the Curse of White Leaf back in December, I think it was. That's when Palace got Grimsby for the third round. This is why it was probably best if we had a week off a couple of weeks ago, because really these other lesser podcasts do need some time to catch up, don't they?
They certainly do.
We're trying to help them along a bit, but they can only go with what they're given. Or what they get spammed with in their email.
Or what they're fed.
And Andy's a friend of the show, isn't he? He's been on there.
He's a former guest of the show.
He is a former guest. He came on, helped us out during the Euros 2016, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Came on from an episode there. And he's got his own podcast, which ironically didn't have the email that he sent round to everyone.
He didn't get his own email.
No, they didn't even read out his own email.
Yeah. Maybe the producer of this podcast said, look, I'm not reading this out. Or went, you got this from The Sound of Football. What? You know what I mean? You're putting the wool over my eyes, mate.
And Andy, you haven't credited The Sound of Football anywhere on this email.
Yeah.
Hey, we're only kidding with you, Andy.
If somebody went, look, it's maybe all right for the Totally Football show, but we credit our sources here.
Yes.
We're only joshing, Andy.
Hey, the curse is over anyway now, isn't it?
It's smashed.
Smashed.
Or is it lifted?
Well, if we were to be a bit tabloid about it, we'd say it was smashed.
Yes. Yeah. But I suppose if you were to be more like accurate, you'd probably say it's lifted.
Lifted?
Yeah. Dispelled.
Yeah, nice one.
That's like what I love that. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, dispelled.
Very
good. Curse dispelled.
Yes.
Yeah, because according to the curse, as the way it was meant to go, Palace were meant to be knocked out.
Yes. Mm. But they didn't.
Them being the holders at the time. This has obviously got some kind of Alan Pardew thing going on there, I think.
There's probably Pardew involved somewhere,
isn't
it?
Well, yeah.
What makes you say that?
Well, he played for both Whiteleaf and Palace. So.
Oh, I see what you mean.
There's obviously some kind of synergy going on there.
Right, well, there's obviously some kind of reason why you'd sully this moment for me by mentioning that guy's name.
So Crystal Palace are now going to win the FA Cup?
Well,
against Manchester United.
I mean, Manchester City is still in there, and United or Chelsea are still in there. So, I mean, it's a cracking draw and it's opening up. So any Premier League club should feel confident that if they want to get to the latter stages of the competition, then they've got a very good chance of doing so.
Well, the draw was made not long before we came in here to start recording. And by the looks of it, there's going to be a few surprise names amongst the quarterfinalists.
Yes, there could be two South London clubs in the quarterfinals.
Well, definitely be one.
There'll definitely be one, and there may well be a second.
Yes.
Because Wimbledon's in South London, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Maxwell. Kingston is kind of South London, isn't it?
It's the London borough,
because that's where Wimbledon play.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't play in Wimbledon. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting game. And then, obviously, Palace at away at Doncaster Rovers, which is a game that can be both won and lost.
Yes.
On either side, I think.
Certainly.
But you've got Newport still there. They'll presumably not be going through to the quarterfinals unless Manchester City field their under-23s.
And still win 10-0.
Hey, come on. Sunderland beat City's under-21s, didn't they, last week?
No, actually, you're right. I'm selling them short there in the Chequered Trade Trophy.
Yeah.
And Sunderland are 90 minutes from Wembley.
Can I just say that we've never, ever, ever on this podcast had a bad word to say about against the Chequered Trade Trophy. We never once recorded an entire podcast dedicated to saying how rubbish that trophy was.
Well, I definitely wasn't on that one.
No, well, that's even fairness, you were.
Because I've always been a massive fan of the Chequered
Trophy. Yes, indeed. Yeah, as have we, haven't we, Graham?
Yes, certainly.
Yes, you'll never find us. Yeah, and you know, and if you don't believe us, then feel free to go back through our entire back catalogue, listeners.
Yeah, except for the one with Gary Andrews on.
No, avoid that one. Because that's where our hypocrisy shines through. Yeah. For some reason, I like Portsmouth or QPR v Watford.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling about Portsmouth and QPR. Portsmouth have been out of the sunlight for a while now and are kind of sort of coming up a bit.
Well, they're storming League One.
They are indeed League One. And it looks like they... So this could be good for them. But if QPR get this, then I fancy them to get past Watford.
Mm. Ooh, it's a bit cool.
Yeah. I've just got this funny feeling about QPR because they are like really, really poor. But I've got this feeling that they're probably a much better team than they should be and could lift themselves for the cup.
Well, the form book goes out the window, as the saying goes, doesn't it? When the cup comes,
that's what they said. Yeah.
Wimbledon showed that, didn't they? I mean, the nail to the bottom of League One.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, turn it on.
Yeah. But I mean, again, is that an element? Is there an element of West Ham a bit about that?
Not
maybe
entirely.
Because they tend to be West Ham do blow hot and cold. To use yet another cliche.
Yeah, they were imperious against Arsenal, and then go and lose to a completely out of sorts Bournemouth side.
Yeah, they probably thought that we've got these guys.
Yeah.
So no problem.
And then immediately after that humiliation, they went, "Oh, it's okay because Arnautovic has signed a new contract." That's great, isn't it, guys? And then,
yes.
Okay, so you knew about that before this game and you still fielded an under-strength side and then we got embarrassed. Yeah, that's great news. Thanks for that.
Well, it is difficult, though, because, I mean, the priority is overwhelmingly the Premier League because relegation from the Premier League is so calamitous that I suppose if you have the opportunity to rest some players. I mean, Tottenham rested Eriksen, didn't they?
Yeah.
As much as I'm pleased that Palace won... and as much as I think Palace deserved that win, I mean, you know,
they were good for it. So.
I mean, Eriksen would have scored that penalty.
Mm.
It would have been 2-1, and it would have been a very different game.
Mm.
So, I mean, let's not be under any illusions in that respect. Palace had a degree of luck with them, but yeah, and there's also, you know, the possibility of Shrewsbury Town getting through to the quarterfinals because, you know, Bristol City are a team that can be beaten.
Yep, they are on a good run at the moment, Bristol City. But they are. But
there is a small matter of overcoming Premier League Wolverhampton Wanderers, however.
But there is that. 2-0 up in that game.
They were.
And they do have to go to Molineux now, where it could be entirely different.
At the moment, it's great. Look at all the small teams. And then by the time you get to the semi-final, it's, oh, bloody hell, there are no decent teams in the Cup anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's just how it is with the FA Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. I mean, it's like that year, when was it, 2008, when it was between Portsmouth and Cardiff.
Yeah.
In the final.
Yeah.
And people say, yeah, it's great. It's the smaller clubs are making it there. And then it's like, yeah, what are you doing Saturday? Oh, I don't know.
Are you having your barbecue again?
Yeah, the FA wouldn't be very happy if because the international TV sales take a massive hit when you don't have your big teams in the final and the latter stages of the final. And that's none of our concern, I guess.
Of course not. No.
I guess. But then at the same time, the FA Cup generates so much income for grassroots football that it's kind of important that it stays relevant. So
yes.
It's not, I don't think I'm being completely a breadhead by bringing that up.
No, but it
is important.
You are entirely right. I mean, they've doubled the prize money this season, which, you know, is really important to lower league clubs, to those non-league clubs, those step five, step six and step four clubs like Whiteleaf.
Mm.
That money is really important, but that money comes in by selling big TV deals to overseas markets.
Yes,
and that's why the games are spread out all over the weekend. That's why they're not all at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And while we complain and while we think, oh God, this is awful, all that money, well, a lot of that money is going to clubs that really, really do need it.
Mm.
So you can go, oh, tradition, brr, and get really angry about it. But you can also think, well, you know, we live in the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the big teams keep fielding understrength sides and not participating in the World Cup, you know, in the FA Cup with full vigour, then the danger is, over time, the value of those deals will decrease.
Yeah.
Now, in the process, it also means that some faceless capitalist, you know, TV, football, broadcasting agent type people who are rapacious capitalists are out of pocket as a consequence. And we can celebrate that. But at the same time, we can also perhaps, you know, be guarded and a bit concerned about this sort of thing.
The reality is that their mates at the gentlemen's club, who are also massive capitalists and making their money in the Premier League and in the Champions League, and that's what's causing all of these problems.
And indeed, these same agents also have the same contracts, but with the Premier League. So they're those guys will be all right. They'll still be able to pay the subs for those gentlemen's clubs.
You think they'll still be all right? Yeah,
they'll be okay. We can have a whip round for him.
Yeah, I'm sure we can get him something, can we?
I think this works out better, though, because, I mean, it is nice to have big games in every round. I remember, was it a couple of seasons ago? It might even be last season, when, for the world, it looked like a bit of a fix because all the big clubs avoided each other and they were all, like, going through and you ended up with semi-finals. There were big marquee matches, but it looked like it was heading towards that from very early on.
Mm.
And I think at least with this one, you've had interest in every round. And like obviously you had Arsenal Man United in this round and you've got Chelsea Man United in the next round. So
it's great.
There's
a really nice spread of games. You've got the big marquee game for everyone to talk about. And then you've got the smaller ones as well. I mean, there's plenty of romance in this draw. So the fifth round draw is...
Mm.
For me, it's particularly for me right now because my team is in it.
Yes.
But it's always been a cracking round, the fifth round, because you've still got that nice blend and there's still potential for upset. And the next round is the quarterfinals.
Terry, I mean, like, come on, you've drawn a League One side. You're in the quarterfinals, aren't
Absolutely.
you?
Absolutely. See, that's the kind of attitude that I would be wanting to take in. Absolutely. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
We're going to start talking about curses again, aren't we? I thought we'd moved on.
It's the sound of football curse.
But what you might discover, though, Terry, is that you might get through anyway because it might be a VAR game.
Yeah, well, it might well be a VAR game, and hopefully the VAR will come down on the side of the bigger club.
Do you think that's how it's working there, Jan?
VAR coming down on the side of the bigger club?
Yeah.
Well, I would hate to be able to say that. No, I don't think so. I think the way that VAR has been pushed out into to be trialled in the FA Cup says a lot about the way that the FA Cup is viewed by the FA. The fact that you've got some matches where it's not there at all and others where it is there, you know, it's not a level playing field, which is the wider argument about VAR anyway. Yeah, I think it's been a bit crap, really, and it's added to the criticism of how the FA Cup is viewed now.
Mm. Well, the FA doesn't really have a lot of choice. It has to go for the FA Cup because the other competitions are run by other people, so they can't really do it without the permission of the leagues to put it in. But yeah, you're right. Have it from the quarterfinals, put it on everyone. But I suppose as they're doing it, as you're right, it is a trial still, even though they started it last year. How long do they want this trial to go on for?
Yeah, they don't have to trial it though, do they? It's been used all over Europe in the same game, and in the Premier League, it's going to be used from next season. So there's no need for the FA to try it in their one competition, as you point out.
Yeah.
They could just hold off and go, well, it's everywhere next year, so we'll... Well, it remains to be seen how they're going to do it everywhere next year, or if at all.
Well, it's across the Premier League, so yeah. I mean, it only has to be Premier League grounds, so that's fine. And most Premier League, all Premier League grounds are going to have the financial wherewithal to be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like Dean Court might struggle a little bit, Selhurst Park a bit, because it's extra cabling to put in these rather rickety stadiums, which are overburdened with that sort of tech in the first place.
And there's not a lot of room in places, especially like places like Craven Cottage, where there's very little room between the touchline and where the supporters are.
Yeah.
And so what, you're going to start losing seats to put in extra cameras?
I genuinely don't know, but you can't rule it out. Certainly, there could be an issue in terms of ground safety and then reduction of capacity because there's just so much equipment being installed and more. And also, in fairness, the demands of the broadcasters will change with every cycle. They'll want more cameras, they'll have new innovations and they'll want to introduce it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Selhurst Park needs its renovation so much is largely because it also needs to have its infrastructure sort of ripped out and then put back in again so that it can accommodate, you know, being a modern Premier League football club. And now that includes VAR, and one can only imagine the challenges that they have at Dean Court, which is a teeny tiny stadium.
Yeah.
It's called the Vitality Stadium, I know, but I prefer to call it Dean Court.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's what it was called, you know.
That is what it was called, yeah, that's right. I mean, I've never called the Westfalen Signal Iduna Park, so why would I call Dean Court the Vitality Stadium?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Are the Premier League providing any financial assistance to clubs to help them
put that in there? I doubt it. They probably think, we give you enough money.
I mean, I must confess, that's what I'd think. Yeah. You want more money?
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with the many millions of pounds that you already have?
No, they're making a material change to the way the way the game is officiated, so I would have thought that they might have put their hands in the pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, they might have done, but no.
I only ask because I know when they rolled it out in Portugal, the Portuguese FA paid for the all of the cost. That could be because there's a lot of grounds that are... I don't want to say substandard, but you know what I mean.
There is a bigger disparity in the Portuguese league than there is in the Premier League. I'm sure fans of Bournemouth say, well, we don't have anywhere near as much money as Man United or Liverpool. But it is something that both sides can easily afford, even though it is very expensive. But yeah, but when it comes to the FA Cup, where theoretically, every club from the lowest level of senior football has a chance of progressing through. Would Barnet be expected to have the facilities in place to have VAR?
But Barnet could conceivably host a quarterfinal. So as you speak, it's 3-3 in the game against Bradford. If it goes to replay, they win that game, or if they win it now, then they could go through and they could go through to the quarterfinals. Now, if they have it, now that's an important game.
Mm.
By any measure, that's an important game. So you would think, well, okay, well, I mean, they'll probably have VAR in the other quarterfinals, which there's a good likelihood will be in larger stadia. But they probably wouldn't be realistic to install it into the Hive because it's never going to get used again.
Yeah.
It'll just have to be ripped out.
We have this already with goal line technology,
which
is there at in the Championship grounds and is there in the Premier League grounds.
Yeah.
You go outside of there. And there's no need for it to be there, so why spend the money on putting it there? So you've got there another case of playing by different rules or playing with different equipment.
In the same competition.
In the same competition.
I mean, I'm again VAR, but I mean, I accept that if you have VAR in a league, in a single competition, then there's some fairness there because everybody has access to that. But the FA Cup is also another competition, and although its structure is somewhat different and the games are isolated, it still contributes to a degree to a greater whole. And as we found out at Le Den, when Millwall arguably benefited from the fact that VAR wasn't installed in that game against Everton. You know, that means that, you know, Everton have been denied an opportunity to stay in the competition, whereas if they'd been playing at a different club from a different level in a similar circumstances, they might have had the benefit of VAR.
Providing that VAR got it right.
There's tons of ifs and buts, though, isn't there? And I guess that's the thing. I mean, that's why it's important. I mean, these things are important, I think, to talk about and to reflect upon. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think these are necessarily things you can jump up and down and saying VAR, you know, must be stopped, because, you know, not necessarily the reason. But VAR is supposed to iron out these, but really is supposed to make things easier from an officiating point of view. And it's surprising how many arguments there are about it.
Well, it can't eliminate controversy, can it? Because there is still an element of subjectivity about decisions.
Yeah.
If a handball is deliberate, if contact is a foul, those sort of things aren't going to be cleared up by VAR. They're just going to have someone else's opinion attached to it. And so you're still going to have people arguing. You say, well, how could two referees look at that and come up with this thing? Because when I see it, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But that's
because people get shit wrong, don't they?
Well, or else.
Or they have an opinion.
People will see exactly the same thing, and will have two different opinions about
it.
There's no two ways about it, and especially if you've got a vested interest.
Yes,
you are definitely going to see. You're more likely to see in your favour. So you will see the ball hitting someone's thigh, going off on their hand, and then going to the goal, and think, well, that was deliberate handball.
Yeah.
Or, and then you'll see exactly the same thing. And if you're on the other side, you'll say, oh, it's just come off his hand. It's really unfair. And also, you can see things wrongly. I mean, your brain will, if you don't see something clearly, very clearly, then your brain will fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And oftentimes they will be informed by your own biases as well, which is what makes it so hard to be a referee, because they have to check those biases so very, very carefully.
Yeah.
Because they will see things right there in real time, and they won't necessarily be able, they won't have the ability to replay all of those things, and they have to make an informed and an impartial decision based upon what they've just seen. And their brain will be frantically trying to plug in the gaps.
Yeah.
As to what they think it saw, and then make a decision. I mean, it's no wonder referees frequently get things wrong. In fact, arguably, it's a miracle that they do as well as they do in that respect.
It's a really good case in point, exactly the example you've just given. Last week in the Portuguese Cup, Benfica are playing Porto. They went on to lose that game to Porto, so whether this decision would have had a bearing on that game or not, I don't know. But Benfica broke away with a beautiful attacking, counter-attacking move, and scored what was a perfectly good goal. The attacker on the right wing played the ball across to the onrushing striker, maybe just inside of Porto's half. He was clearly onside, but he was close to the last defender. But he was clearly onside, went through, scored the goal, everyone's happy. Except Mr. VAR, who said, no, we need to call that one back. And the line went up, and you can see it you can find this on social media, wherever you want to look. And it looks like, to me, a perfectly good goal. The guy was onside. I've got no vested interest in Benfica or Porto. Mm-hmm. I just heard about this and watched the incident. And you're right, two people have looked at that, and two people have clearly have an opinion on that and got it wrong. So Benfica then lost their shit because I get, although I said I've got no affiliation with Benfica, I don't. I just happen to get their newsletter because I'm trying to learn Portuguese. And I came through, and the little Portuguese I do have showed that they weren't happy about this decision. I think it was fair to say. Anyway, watching that through a Google Translate, they're actually asking for a transcript of the conversation between the VAR chap and the referee, because they think it was so badly executed that they want to seek, some kind of appeal, but they certainly want to take it further. And this was a proper statement they've put out there, so they're potentially in contempt of the rules out there with their own FA. But, there's more to come on that one, I think.
Now, Portugal, they've already had VAR for a season, haven't they?
Yeah, they did. Strangely, they called the first season where everyone had it a trial season, but it was in every game. I can't quite work out whether that was
the same with the Bundesliga.
No, really? They called it a trial, but every game.
Yeah, it was for the whole competition.
Right.
But it was like, we're doing this for 1 year. And then they decided to, maybe that to carry on doing it, anyway. So that's what it
means. Yeah, they have carried on anyway. So
what's your opinion on what's gone on in Germany? Because after the first half of the season last year, it was...
Yeah.
People weren't very happy with it. There was a lot of disquiet about it.
Hmm.
Is it just a question now of the officials getting better at it, or is it now a question of people have just resigned to it and just...
I think it's still unpopular with fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
I think for the same reasons that we've talked about before,
yeah.
And that's largely because they don't know what's going on, and they just think it's a bit rubbish.
Mm.
In an attempt to be more objective about it, I'm not conscious of that many big VAR controversies in the first half of the season. I may be missing or forgetting some, but I'm not conscious of too many massive controversies. I think ultimately what's still happening is that referees are still making decisions and people are still disagreeing with them. And it doesn't really matter whether or not the referee is standing on the pitch or whether or not he's in Cologne in a studio in his ridiculous referee's uniform while he's sitting in a studio. I mean, I don't know why he just doesn't just wear clothes.
Full kit wanker.
Absolute full kit wankers in the studio. Just, I don't know. In many ways, that's the worst. That's just what VAR, why VAR is just so lame, frankly. It just compels people to walk into completely incongruous environments wearing football kits. I mean, just for Christ's sake. You know,
it's indoors.
I mean, it's just...
Still, I bet they've got whistles around their necks and everything, cards in their pockets.
Yeah, I bet they've got a spare watch on as well.
I wonder if they have dressed down VAR days where you just allowed to turn up in slacks and a shirt or something like that.
Or maybe that's how they dress all the time.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? You may have actually arrived upon something there.
Yeah.
I reckon referees probably do parade around in their referees' kits.
Don't you, Andy?
Method referee.
Isn't that right, Andy? Yeah. Do send us an email, Andy, if that's the case. Not just to us, but to any podcast you'd like as well. Where were we?
That odd room, the odd VAR room.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So, yes, I think the waters are fairly calm with regards to VAR. I wouldn't suggest that that is in any way a victory for it. But, I mean, I would also probably say to you that it probably gets an awful lot of decisions right. We like to focus on the decisions it gets wrong because it's fun and it makes for good podcasts and we don't agree with it. So it fits nicely in with our own personal agendas.
Of course it does.
I mean, if we were a pro VAR podcast, we'd be having a different conversation and we'd be citing plenty of evidence to suggest that actually VAR is doing a good job.
Certainly. We know that it's coming and it is, it is going to be in place.
It's going to be brilliant.
Oh yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to it in the Premier League.
Well, just because it'd be farcical.
It's just going to be
great. Yeah.
It is.
We don't have to struggle for content next season. It's just the whole season's going to write itself.
Phil Thompson, Soccer Saturday, Liverpool 3 to Saturday 3 club. First VAR decision goes against Liverpool. Phil Thompson's doing the game live on Soccer Saturday. You're going to be able to see his throbbing vein from orbit. I want to see that. And I'm willing to sacrifice my principles in order to see it as well. And also because it's going to happen, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I still have yet to see an offside goal given with goal line technology. I really want to see the goal line tech give an incorrect goal. And I don't think I will now because VAR will come in and spoil everything. And this is another thing, that it does spoil some of the most ridiculous things in football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, to quote Jeff Goldblum, I think life will find a way. and football is well capable of producing moments of tremendous hilarity. And I think always will do, for as long as it's played by humans.
And I guess as long as we're seeing teams being dragged out at half-time to take a penalty.
Yeah. You see? That was terrible, but it was also brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was hilarious. The thing is that this is what's going to make that you're just going to get different types of howlers, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's the case in point, isn't it? That in the effort to get everything right, you get things spectacularly wrong,
and it just makes everyone laugh at things. It.
Yeah.
You end up doing ridiculous things because
it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
it's crazy. I mean, it is the very definition of bureaucracy gone mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And I suppose that's probably why people like us rail against it. Life finds a way. It will, football will continue to be absurd.
Yes. And it will still give the cup a little bit of magic somehow, but it will just see how the magic works this time.
Yes, it'll show shine light on magic, as
they say. Yeah.
Spain, this is the first season for Spain.
Yeah.
It's controversial. Both clubs kind of complaining about it. Both of the two big clubs complaining about it. Barcelona complaining about it. Real Madrid complaining about it, particularly a game against Real Sociedad, which they lost. They thought there was a clear handball, I think it was, that wasn't given.
Yeah.
Leganés made an official complaint to the authorities because of a goal scored by Luis Suárez when there was, in their view, a clear foul on the goalkeeper. So, and Huesca as well, I think, have been unhappy and feeling that they've been on the wrong end of the VAR as well. Mm. So, this is their first season as well. So.
Yeah. I remember Real having words about VAR in a couple of the Club World Cups they were in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they felt they were on the harsh end of a few decisions there in that tournament, which obviously was run by FIFA, so
anything could happen, I mean, they'll be working for the greater good, won't they, there. This is what happened in Germany. I mean, I imagine it's the same in Italy as well. And it will be the same in England next year. There'll be controversy and arguments and probably some very high-profile VAR mistakes, which will shake the confidence of those people around it. But I think ultimately, you know, it's here to stay.
Yeah. You do sort of get that feeling that there could be differences in the way that every league approaches VAR.
Mm.
And this is going to come to a head when we've got VAR coming into the Champions League, which it does, I think, from the next round.
I think it's the quarterfinals.
Isn't it? It's quarterfinals, isn't it? Yeah.
Or is it even this round?
I think it might be the knockout round.
It could be this round, couldn't
it? Yeah. So obviously you're going to have referees who are used to implementing VAR in their own markets, and whether or not there are going to be any differences between how they do it. And I'm sure FIFA are trying to get one system through for everyone, but you can't help but...
Yes, that's very interesting.
Pressure from leagues to say, oh yeah, we want to hear what the refs are saying.
Because
even
to this day, you can still discern a change, a difference in culture in terms of the way games are officiated and refereed.
Yeah.
You know, particularly in terms of what constitutes, you know, foul play. Yeah. I think it's much more streamlined than it used to be.
Yeah.
But I think there's still, you do get that. I think you still have it. Maybe it's a cliche, but I reckon, you know, that there is still perhaps a tolerance for the harder tackle, say, in northern European countries than there are in southern European, and perhaps there's more tolerance for diving and what we would consider to be chicanery and cheating in the south than it is in the north. I mean, these are massive cliches on my part, you know, I'm being very non-specific. But it could well be that these kind of attitudes find their way into the VAR room as well.
Yeah.
And so you could have, I mean, you could easily have a situation, you know, in a high-profile game, in an international competition, whether it be the Champions League or the European Championships, Nations League, World Cup, where the VAR comes from a country that maybe would look at something and say, no, well, I mean, I've seen things like that before, and I think that that's fine.
Yeah.
So we'll be fine with that. Yeah. And everyone goes up in arms, and it's an opportunity for some mild xenophobia, and, you know, everyone has a really, really good time about it, really, frankly. So, but yeah, we could totally see that.
Yeah, because in the end, it is just down to opinion. So, yeah.
Yeah, I
mean, opinions shift.
But this is the thing. I mean, this is why. I mean, I think this is the thing about it. I mean, all the thing about VAR is that it's this. This is this. We were expressly told that it would almost eliminate this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we were, and people who say people have been, a lot
they
of people
put it on the
saying,
side of a bus,
you know,
didn't they?
It won't be, it's as if they put it on the side of a bus. They specifically said that it would make things better, make things right.
Yeah.
And it hasn't. And that was always, I think, a bad call by those people who made that kind of claim.
Mm.
Because it was never going to do that. And here we are. Now we have more officials, when really, arguably, we could be doing with less officials.
Mm. Yes, hear, hear.
All due disrespect to any officials who may be listening. If you don't like it, you can always send us an email.
Or send someone else an email.
It's fine.
Oh, dear. What are you going to be watching this weekend, yeah?
So this weekend, I think I'd be watching probably Tottenham Hotspur against Newcastle United, hoping that that Tottenham get back to winning ways and spank Newcastle.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a clown car week, haven't they, Tottenham? Yeah. They're going out two cups in a few days.
Well, hopefully we'll see a full-strength Tottenham in that game against Newcastle.
And a big game of the Championship, we got Leeds United against Norwich City.
Massive game, Stu.
Yes. Well,
Five times the size of other games.
Jungle is massive!
Only jungle is massive. But it's still pretty big. Leeds v Norwich, yeah, that is going to be a game of the football.
Yeah. And there'll be plenty of other games as well, like Man City, Arsenal, if you really want to see that. If you want to see what we pick out for this weekend, then get along to sofpodcast.com and click on the link to Weekend Box Set. You'll receive our email newsletter. You know the score by now. If you know the score by now, why haven't you signed up?
Well, I was going to say,
yeah,
I don't think you do know the score by now.
If you do know the score by now, you should go down to the bookies. That's exactly what you should do.
See what? You should be sending us an email, telling us the score, and we'll all enjoy the fun.
But that is all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry Fenn, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Kindest regards.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Time curse, a time loop curse,
yeah.
Some description, where they all ended up saying exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to us.
Unbeknownst to us, of course.
Unbeknownst to us.
Indeed.
Right, we'll play that.
Nice.
We'll play it in there now.
Very nice.
And three all. It's just three all.
Three all.
What the fuck is going on at Barnet?
Cup top.
What the fuck is going on at Barnet?
Over to you, Jan. It's fucking raining goals here, Jeff. Fucking raining the bit.
How soccer Saturday should be. Fuck me, Jeff. Barnet have fucking scored another goal.
There's your Easter egg, Grim.
We can't help it if we get carried away.
You want us to be professional
about our Easter eggs, it kind of defeats the point.
It does really defeat the point. Yes, it really does, doesn't it? Right, okay.